Chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, as we look in the Word of God. Thank you for being here this evening with us. Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll begin reading down at verse 17. As we look in the Word of God this evening, we look at the place of the believer in verses 1 through 16. Now we get to the practice of the believer, verse 17 down to verse 32. And as we look at this tonight, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over," it says here, "to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." So he makes the opening statement in verses 17 down to verse 21 that he said, don't be like everybody else. Be like that old commercial. I'm different, don't care who knows it. But don't be the black sheep, be a Christian. I find out that most folks will, in America at least, will identify themselves as a Christian of some kind. But there's only one kind that Jesus identifies, and that's the born-again Christian. There's professed Christians, there's very few possessed Christians. But if you'll notice down in verse 22, he starts in this line of thinking and says, "That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor," it says, "working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." As we look at the practice of the believer in this part of Scripture, this last part of chapter number 4, I want to preach to you tonight on John 14:6, Christianity. That's where the way, the truth, and the life is in Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, taking some of these verses, outlines that for us and shows us the way, the truth, and the life in Jesus Christ. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we look at this. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the time to be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of being with your people tonight. I pray, God, that you'll help us, Lord God, as we approach the Scriptures. God, according to Psalm 119, verse 18, we ask you to open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, like your word says. God, help me to preach, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Lord, we're going to be careful to thank you and praise you for everything, because all glory belongs to you. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look tonight and we see the John 14:6 Christianity, that when I say John 14:6 Christianity, I'm referring to the credentials that show up in somebody's life that shows that they actually are a saved person, that they actually have the way, the truth, and the life in Jesus. And the first credential is the way, if you look down in verse 20 where the Bible says this, "But ye have not so learned Christ." As referring back to verse 17 down to verse number 19, by not being as other Gentiles walk, he points out plainly that if you'll see there, the way of Christ is marked by Jesus Christ. Listen, I've heard enough people over the years make so many excuses for people that never even open a Bible, much less walk in the doors of a church, that as soon as they get in trouble, well, they're a Christian and God will help them, and here comes the spare tire for God.
Yep.
It's amazing how full people get up with this stuff where as soon as something happens, it's spare tire religion for everybody. When's the last time you went to a funeral and knew that the person in front of you was going to hell, but the guy behind the pulpit wouldn't even breathe a word about it?
Come on.
And I don't recommend people do that, because I know you'll get in a fight as soon as you get done preaching the night before. But why even lie about it? Why don't just preach the Lord Jesus Christ being the way, instead of bragging on some dead corpse in front of you that ain't done nothing all his life but drink and whatever else and stuff like that?
Amen.
It's crazy how people do, man.
Right.
Listen, one of the leading outfits in this town, their pastor, I was at a funeral. They had to drag the lady. Listen, they couldn't hardly roll the gurney out because all the liquor bottles in the way. He was back there talking about, oh, this blessed prayer, I can't wait to see him in heaven. Funeral director leaned over me and said, is that man lost? I said, I believe he must be, because if he meets her in afterlife, he's going to a different place than we are.
Right.
Listen to me. The way of Christ is defined. He said, you have not so learned Christ. When people say, well, now, you can't be judgmental of people's salvation. It's all about a relationship with Jesus. That's what I just said. You have not so learned Christ. And you'll never convince me, folks, to have an ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ, to have fellowship with Him, are going to walk out here one day and do all this stuff and then spare a terror of God the rest of their life and then hope for the best at the end. That ain't no way to go.
Right.
That's not the way.
Amen.
You see that thing about lasciviousness, uncleanness there? That's referring more to not taking a bath. They get filthy in their mind, they get filthy in their mouth, and they get filthy in their message, and he starts covering that in chapter 5. But you'll notice he says, what happens is when they get like that, their understanding is alienated, it says literally, from the life of God. They do that to themselves. They alienate themselves from God by literally going against the way. We pulled up on, I think it was Indian Hill the other day, and there's two signs right there. Do not enter. One way. And I looked at Lisa, I said, why don't we go that way? Everybody else wants to disobey signs. What do we do? The only problem is you don't know what's coming on the other side of that hill when you get up top there.
Right.
Might be somebody on the other side of that hill saying, let's run this speed limit up and see what we'll do when we get to the top. Maybe we can jump like the Duke boys. So here I am coming up this side. Here they are coming this side. What happened? We met in the middle. Nothing good. When you go against the way of God, eventually you're going to run into that thing. You keep going down the do not enter sign, you're going to run into something over there.
Yeah.
The way of Christ, he said, you've not so learned Christ. And he says this about the truth of Christ. He says in verse 21, if so that you have heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. As we see the credential of the way and the truth being in Jesus, the truth of the matter is this. When somebody comes up and they can't say that they're getting things out of one final authority of a Bible, I know whose team they play for. You remember years ago, them rockers got out there on camera in the late 80s and early 90s, rock against drugs. And I heard a guy say something about that one time. He said, that's as foolish as Christians against Christ. And I laughed at that joke then, because rock against drugs is about stupid. But when you think about Christians against Christ, boy, we're seeing that more than ever now.
Yep.
So how can you tell? Well, if this Bible in front of me is not perfect, where can I find one?
Amen.
Because, see, Christ said it was.
Mm-hmm.
And if they say it's not, then that's Christians against Christ. Honey, there's a reason Keith Richards looks like he's been raised from the dead 3 times. He has. That dope's a bad way to go. Look at this thing. He said, if so be that ye have heard him. Let me ask all the Bible critics this question. Who told you this wasn't a perfect book?
Right.
Let me tell you, since you forgot. It was somebody who had been lied to by somebody, who had been lied to somebody, been lied to by the devil. Do I believe the sincerity of some of these people teaching this stuff? I'm sure they're sincere as the day is long. Sure they are. But we're not dealing with sincerity, we're dealing with truth. And that's in Christ. So how do you know that's the perfect book? Because this is the one that exalts Jesus more than the rest of them. That's a major thing right there. This word, listen, this word mentions preach more than any of the rest of them. This book. And we see about the blood of Christ that everybody's supposed to be having this relationship about. This one tells more about it than the rest of them. So back about that relationship thing, the way and the truth of Christ. He said, watch this thing here. He said, and have been taught by Him. Been taught by Him. Can you honestly say to yourself today that the stuff you learned of Jesus Christ, or somebody else have to show you? The lost man out there in the desert that Philip ran into was the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, do you understand? You understand what you're reading there? You know what he said? How can I except some man teach me? Granted, God gives teachers that teach us things and preachers and things like that. But there's got to be a part of your Christian life where you learn of Him and are taught by Him.
Right.
There'll be times that I'll preach on stuff and you will not even know what I said. And you'll tell me at the back door through a lying set of teeth, that's the best message I ever heard in your life. And I'll lie back to you. I'll lie back to you and say, thank you very much. And then one day, you'll be reading your Bible and you'll run across something. And that thing will be like a neon sign almost to you. It'll be a truth ingrained to your heart. And it's something the Lord's showing you. But it's something the seed was already there for. Now the Lord's put water on it and that's coming up. Or even better, some other preacher will come here and preach it, and it'll be like the heavens open, showers of blessings come with it, the lights come on, the whole thing, and you'll tell him, I've never seen that before. I just preached on it last Sunday. I mean, you know, that type of thing. And I'm good with that. I know my place. I'm just one that puts the seed out. But I know this much, all of it's got to be taught by him, or you'll forget every bit of it.
Right.
The things I've learned in my lifetime through the Lord is the things I didn't have to learn for a test. I learned them because of the test and I failed. And when you're taught by Him things, and you go in, you look in this book, and you're taught by Him, I know this, that the truth of Christ is the credential of Christianity. The reason we follow a book that says something what He says is because we believe that's Him that got it wrote down for us. We believe the truth is in Him and of Him and by Him, and it's a credential that only He can carry. But the third credential, about, you know, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, is the life of Christ. And He says this in verse 22. He says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to, it says, the deceitful lusts. So the life of Christ is a changed life. The only problem we have in Christianity is the problem of physical corruption, because our soul is saved, we have a new spirit put within us, we have the Holy Spirit put within us, but we don't get a new body. Therefore, that physical corruption is always there. The ability to sin is always there. When He said, I die daily, He wasn't talking about His soul or His spirit, He was talking about His body. And if you do not understand about dying daily, He says here that you put off concerning the former conversation, that's all you'll know is the former conversation. He says about the old man, which is corrupt, that physical corruption has caused more presidents in this world to make bad decisions, more kings to fall in dishonor, and more soldiers to die because of a war that should have never been started. Physical corruption. You trace back any problem you have, and the majority of it's going to be physical corruption on some end. I had a fellow tell me one time, he was at work, he fell and got something skint, he went to the hospital and got over there and got some kind of infection because somebody didn't mop the room in there where he's at. It was just one mistake. Now for that hospital it became a $1.6 million mistake, but it was a mistake. Think about that. You hoping you get one, don't you? But listen, there's a lot of folks don't understand this, but when we look at the life of Christ, if He's living in us, how come there's so much wrong with us? It's physical corruption. But if we're ever going to do anything for Him, we're going to have a spiritual transformation and die to that flesh daily and see these following six things show up. Number one, if you look down to verse number 23, He says this. He says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we see there that one of the parts of spiritual transformation is we've got to go to that which God created. And that which God created is that new man in Christ. that which God created wants to read the Bible, wants to pray, wants to love the things of God, wants to come to church, wants to shout while they're singing and keep its mouth shut and not go amen when they should be going oh me.
Come on.
These outfits that judge spirituality by shouting, they're full of hypocrites because you can't shout that much. There's no way. I find out when they open the Bible and start reading, ain't too much to shout about sometimes. Because while they're reading it, it's reading me back and I'm failing the test already. But I do know this. If we keep our mouths shut and our ears open, God will give us more.
Right.
Now, ain't nothing wrong with saying amen. Don't get me wrong. But there's no way that you can hear preaching over all that shouting sometimes.
Right.
And God, amen, glory to God, brother Nile. God said, amen, glory to God. I went to school with some guys like that, and on their briefcase, they had Jesus bumper stickers all over it. Fanatics, man. Let one tiny little problem slip in on them, they go into instant depression and fall right out of church. They go from way over here to way over here in 1 second.
Yep. Yeah.
Remember that relationship thing? You got to build on that, not shouting.
Yeah.
Look at this. He says about that thing that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I like how he points out not just holiness, but true holiness. And when somebody asks me what kind of religion I am, I always tell them I'm a holiness. They said, you want him kind that runs in the floor and falls out and swings on chandeliers? I said, well, my heart's all in that. I just can't do it no more. Truly, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, right? And if y'all start running aisles, I'd shout you on. I probably wouldn't be right behind you, but I'd like to see it, amen. I'd like to energize me. I'd love it. When somebody sings a special for the Lord and they're singing about Him, I love it.
Amen.
I'll sing with you. And you'll probably want me to quit, but I like it.
Amen.
True holiness.
Yeah.
Not fake holiness, true holiness.
Right.
So ain't you afraid of being called a holy roller? No, I'm a Baptist. Ain't no danger of us being called holy rollers. I tell you that, we dead at 4 o'clock in the morning most times anywhere we at on this planet. You ever heard that joke about the Presbyterian went to heaven? He got there and looked around. He said, what's that crowd over there? And he said, that's the holiest crowd. They were shouting, jumping up and down. He said, who's this crowd over here? They was doing some things over there with some around the temple. He said, well, them people there, them's the Methodists. They got a method about them. He said, who's them people over there so quiet? He said, them's the Baptists. Don't disturb them. They think they're the only ones here. That's how that plays out way too much. But he said that God created that new man in righteousness, which is in Jesus Christ, and true holiness, which is in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And he points out there about this thing about being created. If you look at verse 25, he said that not only created, but they compelled in that new life. He says, wherefore, putting away lying. Now, listen to this. I don't know if these terms don't sound right together, but that sounds like that's been some Christian lying going on at Ephesus, and he's telling them to quit doing it.
Right.
Look at that. First thing Paul says to the born-again believer in this chapter about a spiritual, it said about a spiritual transformation is to stop lying.
Yep.
Now, ain't that something?
Amen.
If you go back to Exodus chapter 20 and read the Ten Commandments, that's not even the first commandment. Stop lying, Christian. Hey, Christian, quit lying.
Right.
You ain't got to lie, just tell the truth.
Amen.
What about little white lies? They as simple as them other ones. He didn't identify which ones to quit. He means all of them. He says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbors. It says, for we are members one of another. So the first thing to get rid of is a lying tongue. Why is that? Because that physical corruption you got still got there. You got to make that thing quit. Die to it. Well, I can't sell my car if I don't lie about it. Then keep your car. Don't, what's that stuff they put in cars when they smoke real bad? You get that stuff up all on people, pour that stuff in there and make it quit smoking just long enough to get it sold. Please stop that.
Right. Amen.
You wouldn't want to buy a car like that, would you?
Mm-hmm.
Crank it up, get 10 miles down the road, and all of a sudden, there's a big black smoke comes out the back of it. And you go down to the mechanic, and he looks at it and says, I think you need whatever, $10,000 worth of repairs. Well, I just bought the car. I'm sorry. And you find out that buzzard that sold it to you, he's done down at your beach house sitting there with your money off your car that you just bought from him, and he ain't got to buy them little bottles of no smoke no more. He's already got you. Put away lying. Put away lying. And he points out also here in the next verse that this thing is not only created and compelled, but it's also controlled. He says in this verse 26, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Why is that? Because you cannot control that which the Holy Spirit needs to control. I've heard somebody say one time that, well, we can be angry because Jesus got angry. That sounds very noble, but if that's the only Christ-like characteristic you can produce is anger, you are probably needing to take a check up on this list right here and go back to lying and quit lying to yourself and then be compelled in righteousness and true holiness, be created in that, and then get down to the part where he said, be ye angry, watch this, and sin not. Say, do you never get mad? I get mad all the time, but I've learned something. If I act on anger, I'll be begging forgiveness later.
Right.
It's never right to act in anger. Well, Jesus got mad. Jesus got mad, built a whip, tore up the money changers that were ripping off God's people. Most of these folks I know that get mad, that said Jesus got angry, they're flipping birds on the highway against people that they don't even know. Don't show your IQ off to everybody like that.
Right.
Listen, he points out plainly there, that's got to be controlled. So how do you control that? By not doing it. By saying, Holy Spirit, I want you to control it. I'm going to have to yield to Jesus Christ on this. I can't control it. I read a statistic one time that in the federal penitentiary, that if they took away just the people that got there in trouble by acting on their anger, 75% of the inmates would walk out tomorrow. Well, wait a minute. Federal prison, yeah, you know why they're going there for them white-collar crimes? You know why they embezzled that money? Because they got mad, their boss got a raise, and they didn't. So they got mad. They fixed him. I see how well you fixed him. I heard these guys say, I'd rather be in federal prison than state prison. Well, that might be so, but I wouldn't want to be in either one if I could help it. And a temper problem will get you in both of them for long.
Right.
You read about that man in Gaffney a while back, what he did. His mother told him no. Adult man. So he pulled out a knife, cut her up, and took her debit cards and credit cards and put her in the trash can and went out and started spending her money. When they called him, he said, I'm very sorry I done that. I just got mad. Just got mad. How about this? Be ye angry and sin not.
Right.
Somebody tells you no, just be okay with it. It's okay.
Amen.
No's not a bad word.
Right.
And no might be the best word you ever hear sometimes.
Come on, right.
Now notice this. We see you gotta be controlled, and then you gotta be careful in verse 27. He said, neither give place to the devil. And by saying neither give place to the devil, I've heard this bunch say enough, well, let's give the devil his due. Let's don't. Let's don't give him no place at all.
Amen.
Let's not give him a place in our heart of unforgiveness or unkindness or anything like that that he can build on. Because once he starts building on it, we'll see less of you. Because
right.
He'll have a place in your life. So I'm saved. I don't care how saved you are. He's warning saved people about this.
Right.
Neither give place to the devil. Give in to anger. Next, what thing you're going to be doing? You're going to, well, I'm mad, but it's okay. Next thing you know, the devil's going to park right there in that spot you just give him. And the next thing you're going to have is unforgiveness. Then the next thing you're going to have is you'll be lashing out at people over nothing. Next thing, you'll be cussing people out, doing all. I mean, there'll start big things going on. And before long, somebody will say, are you saved? And you'll say, yeah, I'm saved. Be you angry and sin? Like, yeah, I'm saved. Remember? Yeah, back over here. And see, if you're not careful about that devil, he'll work his way in your life and tear you down. Listen to this. Not in a day. Not in a week. Not in a month. But in a period of time that when you get to where he wants you, you'll never believe you once stood back over there. True story. You ever been down to the beach and watched the waves bring stuff in? You know it takes stuff out too. It's amazing what can wash up on that thing sometimes, ain't it?
Yeah.
I read an article last night that when they had that tsunami in Japan, that they found creatures on that seashore over there where that earthquake and that tsunami come in that was at least 100 yards above where the sea line normally is, and they'd never seen none of these things before. One guy had caught a fish out there, and it had a head like this on it. And it looked like a catfish on this side. It looked like a minnow coming down through here. They say that's from nuclear radiation. I don't know about that, but it wasn't supposed to be there. And because it was so dark, I don't think it's supposed to be that far up, the color of that fish. I heard the further down you get, the darker they get. I don't know. I ain't never been down that far, and I ain't going to the ocean again anyway. So they ain't going to get you there. Well, I saw a turtle bigger than this pulpit down there that died rolled up on that shore. And before you tell me, well, that was just the thing that happened. Well, somebody eats him.
Come on.
There's something bigger than him out there. You say, them things don't normally come on the beach. That one did. When you got a back like a 57 Chevrolet and a bottom like a 63 Ford, and you got a head about like the size of a cannon, I don't want to fool you in no water, and that's your element, not mine. I don't know how well guns work, and I don't know if that hurt that thing or not.
Yeah.
And there ain't no such thing as Tarzan, so I'd be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
But listen to me. You let the devil get his foot in your life, before long he'll move his whole family in on you.
Mm-hmm.
It won't take long.
That's right.
But look at this one. Look down at verse 28. He says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather, it says, rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. I'd say in that thing, in a spiritual transformation, you need to be concerned.
Yeah.
I don't remember when I was a kid, the word enabler being attached to any human being. I don't remember that. I remember this. I had relatives, and when they messed up and went to prison, they was on their own. That's it. They wasn't no Cooper account, nobody sticking money. They wasn't none of that stuff. I had one relative that was on what they called a chain gang. Y'all remember the chain gang around here? He used to be on the back of the trash truck. And the driver up there had a shotgun. You know what that's for? In case somebody decided to take a break when they wasn't supposed to. We never had a problem here with that, I don't believe. And that's back when they had real trash cans. Them 55-gallon drums, all of them was burnt rust orange because why? We'd set them afire every once in a while. Now, if you do that, the EPA and 10 other agencies will be sending you a fine. And the volunteer fire department show up and put it out. But I know this. When I'm looking at this thing, he says, let him that stole steal no more. Watch this. Christian shoplifting. You Christians stopped stealing from the store. Say, a Christian wouldn't do that. These did. He had to tell them to quit it. Remember, he's not talking to lost people here. It's saved people he's talking to. He said, for a spiritual transformation, quit stealing stuff. So, preacher, don't worry about me. I've never stole anything in my life. If I pay you to work for me and you spend 10 minutes working and 50 minutes sitting around on a cell phone looking at Facebook, you stole 50 minutes of my time and I want it back. Spiritual transformation. Don't be ripping that off no more. What would y'all do if y'all had a guy like that working for you? You'd fire him, wouldn't you? God said he's stealing. He said, let him labor with his hands. And he said, working with his hands, that was just good, that he may have him to give that needeth. And when I said that thing about enabling, nowadays when people are in a mess, all other people do is enable them to get worse. And because they've been an enabler so long in their lives, they go out and do this thing. The next thing you see those people do is they create a monster in the next generation. And dear Lord, what's going to be that next generation behind them? We got a bunch of children running around right now on mopeds that's already got two DUIs and they're not even 20 years old. So what's enabling buying them the moped? I remember when I was a kid, if you got DUI, you went to jail. They wasn't no, let mama pay your fine for you. No, there wasn't none of that. You got DUI, you walked. Or you got a ride with somebody. If you quit your job, you didn't get enabled. You had to go get an application to get employed. Uh-huh. I can't even tell you how old I was when I finally saw food stamps. And the first time I saw them, somebody who's twice the size of me now had two grocery buggies full going up. And there we was with barely one full, and it's going to cost $250, that little bit. And they's up there handing little paper food stamps out. Steaks, chicken, fish, shrimp, French fries, baked potatoes, and all this other stuff. And then the lady says, you can't pay for this with beer. So she pulls out a big old wad of money out and starts paying for the beer. And I'm like, somebody's enabling somebody. Dear federal government, please drug test all welfare recipients. Quit enabling them people. Let them work for something. You know why? Listen, when I was a kid, there wasn't a bunch of people protesting around here. You know why? They all had to go to work or they'd starve. There wasn't no enablers.
Amen.
I went to Limestone College in the 80s, and since the 80s I found out we're giving degrees in social engineering now. You know what that's for? So you can go work for the government. I don't know what they teach down there, but I've dealt with the other end of it. After they're on the other side of that table, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's like when you walk up to somebody and they say, listen, here's the rules. We got to keep them like this. Well, where's the rule book? I don't know. Well, if you got rules, you got to have a rule book somewhere.
Right.
Well, I don't know. Or, heaven forbid you call into some of these companies to find out something, how your bill went up, and you go through three different departments to finally get somebody that speaks English that you can understand. Not English, but English that you can understand. And then they tell you, for some reason, they can't understand why you're calling about this. And they put you back with the first guy. Because they can't understand you.
Yeah.
Society. What happened to them? I think they got in the wrong line of work.
Right.
I do suggest this to people, and I want you to just understand me. I'm going to be as carnal as I can be to get this to you. They used to have this show on called American Idol, and I think it may still be on. I'm not sure. But the first part of that show, when it come on, was a bunch of people who should have never been in front of a camera.
Yeah.
Who let them do it? Johnny sang a few bars. He sounds like Alfalfa. You going to go on American Idol? I'm going to go on American Idol. And they let him out of the house to go get on American Idol. Now, we're all giggling because we all thought about somebody we saw on that stupid thing that done that stuff. We need to get people stirred to the job they can do, not the ones they aspire to do because they have a hero somewhere. There's nothing wrong with making a living, earning the wage that you can earn. But when you get out of your league, man, you're not going to do nothing but mess things up. What I'm saying is, we need to be more concerned as part of a spiritual transformation. Let me point this out to you. If somebody were to come up this pulpit and sing and do a great job, the first song ever sung, Christian song, God be the glory, right? It's a good thing. We don't need to stick them out on tour.
That's right.
Oh, you sound so good. We need to have you at every camp meeting, revival fellowship. And no, they need to be in church. That stuff's for the Lord, not for tours.
Mm-hmm.
Leave that to the carnal crowd. Let the carnal crowd tour that one.
Yeah.
But I see here he points out also in verse 29, he said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. What kind of communication there? No corrupt communication. Part of spiritual transformation is literally when we are committed. And our commitment, he points out, has to be starting with your mouth.
Right.
You've committed your heart, you've committed your mind, now commit your mouth. Because he said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. He said, but that which is good to the edifying. What's that? Building up of people. It'd be a whole lot easier to walk around this church and find out what's wrong with everybody and constantly badger everybody else about what your faults are than it would be to get down and pray and God straighten you out because of what he let me see.
Right.
I know people right now that they can find a fault in John the Baptist and Jesus Christ in seconds. because they're such good fault finders. And they let that thing overtake their life. I'm talking about saved people. And when they let that overtake their life, the next thing they do is they get in a mess and they don't even realize it. For long, they think they're better than everybody else. And you know what the truth is? They're not better than who they shave every morning.
That's right.
Or, I'm sorry, ladies, who they comb their hair. Got to get y'all in on this too. And put makeup on and deodorant. Let me say that. I believe in it. Don't you believe in it? I do. But I do know this. If there's corrupt communication, it's not because just the mouth, it's the mind and the heart as well has been involved in that decision. When you get committed, what's coming out of your mouth is what's being committed here. But notice this thing, what he said. It may use the edifying, it may minister grace to the hearers. I thought about this long and hard before I make this statement. Somebody that has a committed prayer life, somebody that has a committed prayer life can just about pray for anybody and they'll get right. We was talking about people last night, about how people get in a mess and this, that, and the other. And we say, man, that guy's in a mess, that woman's in a mess, whatever. But then we never stop and pray for them. Some of you wouldn't be here right now if God hadn't sent somebody a burden to pray for you. So, not me, I'm perfect. Yeah, we're talking about you. All of us are in the same boat on that one. And listen, when it comes to fault finding, I don't know what to say to people that does that constantly other than this. Be careful what you sow to. Because remember that thing about neither giving place to the devil? He'll slip in there and put you in a real mess before long with that stuff.
Yeah.
Because it will kill your prayer life to get like that. One thing that I've noticed with people, they never seem to get this thing about this Christian life, or about the Christian life. The Christian life is not a good life. It's a God life.
Yeah.
And we've got to understand that when we look at this thing, it says, let no, take that no right there, and that's a good no. And he says, but make it for the use of something else than what you are doing. And when you're using it for that, get committed to the things of Christ and do what God would have you do instead of what you think's right.
Yeah.
And I want to close this message by asking one question. Are you a John 14:6 Christian? Are you a John 14:6 Christian? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.